he went all out. No expense spared. It was just a huge display of the Christmas season. Here it is. Just take a look. Well, and since it's also naturally cold in Alberta during the winter season, oh, one of the chairs already cracking. George made provisions when we built this church that there is at least one place where he can park his car so that while we others are able, while the others were scraping and getting snow off the car, his car was nice and warm. So because it had a special place in this church, look at that.
It's not my car.
I thought he would say that.
I wish it was, but it's not my car.
So, in come spring, George couldn't wait for the snow to melt, and especially for the soil to dry out and the grass to become green. And then when that happened, there were moments when George had appointments and special meetings that lasted 3 to 4 hours. And sometimes he came back with a suntan. And as a daily reminder of that season to finally appear, he put a token in a very prominent place in his office just to remind him of that. And it also was used every once in a while to discipline unruly team members. Here it is. There were probably a lot more to share, but we have only limited time this morning. But George also invented a certain award, and I would like for him to share more about that. Look at this award that was circulated among the team members ever so often. Tell us a story about that.
Oh, boy. It's a very prestigious award. One of our staff values is that we always want to be trying new things. And we don't believe in failure, we just believe in getting an education, and so we fail forward. So this implement was first given to me by my wife, who many, many years ago went to a, it was kind of like a women's celebration, and people were supposed to give gifts to exchange, and this was one of the gifts that was exchanged. And she got her hands on it, and when she got her hands on it, she realized that there were like gravy stains on it. So it wasn't new, it had been used. And it's a roast cutter thingamajiggy. And I just said, you know what, give that to me. I want to turn that into an award because, you know, we want to honor those who fail forward. We want to honor those who make mistakes and try new things. And so that's like the meathead award.
And it was always a great honor to receive that thing.
Well, and the truth of it is it spent most of the time in my office because I'm like the biggest meathead there is.
Well, and now that we will face a time without George, there were certain things that will be noticeable, and maybe to you as well, as George won't be around. One of the things that probably you will notice is when you are walking the foyer and then you will look at the hangers and this will happen. A hanger is out of place. The color is not coordinated. That can happen. So when George is not going to be here. And then another thing that you might notice is when you will hit the parking lot. There were actually white lines on the parking lot, and it was told, and we were told many times, they are there for a reason, that you park your car exactly between those lines. And over the years, actually, the lines have changed into yellow lines so that they're more visible. So the thing is, if we don't get that reminder often enough, this might happen.
Sid's car's on the boulevard. See, this is what happens. This is why we need yellow lines.
And then there was the sign. I don't know whether you noticed that church sign out there. Anyone noticed that every Sunday morning? It was dear to George's heart. Grace Point, it was the, if you will, the card that we display our church to the public and to the neighborhood. So we had to change it every week, even by minus 40 degrees when the letters were frozen to the tracks and the suction cup wouldn't work. We had to change the sign. And proper spacing mattered, that it was properly spaced and every letter was turned the right way so that we really give a good impression to the neighborhood. I would think that, hopefully not, but it could happen, that after a while George will not be around, that this will happen. Okay.
Preach.
Let's come towards more the serious side of this morning and just turn the corner and just look back a little bit of 23 years. As I've pointed out already, 23 years as pastor here at Grace Point, 6 as a associate, 17 as a lead pastor. And that certainly raises some question. And one of them that I would have for George is, how did you manage to stay that long in one church, which is probably not typical?
The first thing I would say is that this church family has been very understanding and also very forgiving. If you want to stay with a church family for a long period of time, you need to grow with it. And I think one of the things that I would say is the longevity is not about me as much as it is about this church family. They were the ones who worked with me and kind of journeyed through life with me. I had great leaders at certain times speak truth into my life to help me change, to help me grow, to help me adapt. And it was just a blessing to have people speak truth into my life to help me keep growing as this church family continued to grow. Like it's different to lead a congregation of 100 people than it is one of our size today. And you grow into certain levels of leadership. And I'm truly grateful for the leaders who spoke into my life, who helped me grow and adapt and continue to become more mature spiritually so that I could adapt to that. Many of the times I felt so inadequate in terms of what we were doing. But again, it was this church family who was patient with us, with me, and very, very understanding of some of the stuff that we were going through. So my longevity is more of a reflection of you than it is of me.
So share some highlights. What, if you look back 23 years, so what were some highlights?
Without question, oh, I am breaking this chair. Wow. Without question, it was working with people. One of the things that really motivates me is seeing people's lives change, seeing them understand that they were made for a love relationship with Jesus. The highlights are just seeing people's eyes light up, to see their spiritual eyes light up, and to really lean into their love relationship with Jesus, to come alive spiritually, and then to grow deep spiritual roots. So the people who God added to our number, that to me has always been a highlight. Whenever God adds somebody, he's adding them for a reason. There's a unique contribution that they can make. So that was a huge highlight. Another highlight for me was just working with our teams. I have had the great opportunity to build a team, and the leadership of this church believes in leadership, and so they allowed me to build a team, and I'm so proud of the team that I've been able to build, and we've got so many great leaders on staff and great lay leaders, people who are leading our elder board and our trustee board. The level of leadership in this church is huge, and again, to see people lean into that, to take ownership of that, to take responsibility, and to really thanks. It's dirty. Just want you to know we're still working with Sid. He can't park his car. So, thanks. So just working with leaders. Another thing that was a real highlight for me was participating in the build. This building, again, is got very little to do with any kind of input that I had, but it is a reflection of the high level of leadership that we have in this church. And just to be a player on that team, to see this go up, to see people come together around a purpose, knowing that it was never about building this building, but about reaching people who've not heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and that this would simply become a home for us, a ministry center for us. The journey with the building steering committee at that time, absolutely fantastic, the relationships that we were able to forge, and just going through some really exciting times, but also some very challenging times, to see people step out in faith, to see them experience God so that something like this could happen, that's fantastic. But the beauty of it is again, it's not about this, it's about filling this place with people who have yet to meet Jesus, who have yet to meet him as their Lord, as their forgiver. And so that we have this nest, this ministry home, this is absolutely fantastic. So that's been huge. That's been a highlight. Another is that this church family is so generous, and they love to support key projects and initiatives. One of the things that's so neat is that we've been able to team up with an orphanage in Haiti, and we continue to support them. And lives are changing because of the support of this church family to that orphanage. Another one is we've helped redevelop a church in Pleasant Valley, Vernon. There was a church that was one time 300 people big, and it whittled down to 8 people. And this church family was one of a number in the district who came alongside that church and gave some funds and spoke into the leadership there. And to see that church just growing and flourishing today, I actually texted with Pastor Jeff, who's the leader of the church there. That's huge. So we're seeing God's word spread in the valley there. And we had a hand in that. And again, it's because of this church family's generosity. I think even teaming up with one of our sister churches in Brazil through a project where they're rehabilitating men who are fighting with addiction, and that we had a hand in creating a place. These are just a number of projects that we've been able to participate in. And it just warms my heart that this church family gets it and continues to get it in that grade. So these are a couple of the highlights. Yeah.
Well, and since you love working with a team, we always wondered who was the most difficult team member. Oh, no, we don't want to go there. Question would also be then, you know, how did you actually end up here at Grace Point?
After high school, I'll give you the Coles Notes version. I went to Bible school in Germany. Our fellowship has a Bible school in Germany, and I was intending to go there for 1 year, but I was so impacted by what God had done in my life at that point. I stayed for a second year, and over the course of those 2 years, I got a real heart for the church, and I really began to see that each of us carries hope with us, and as a community of faith, we bring hope to our respective communities. And so that never left me. I just had this passion for the church. And I went to, I grew up in Southern Ontario, so I went to McMaster University and did my undergrad in kinesiology, physiology. And then at the end of that journey, I still had this heart for the church, but I was like, well, what am I going to do? So I applied to Teachers College. One of my professors wanted me to do a PhD at Duke University in sports psychology. And then I decided, you know, I'd like to be independent, have my own business. So I applied to Canadian Memorial Chiropractic College in Toronto. And during my first semester at the chiropractic college, I just had this real sense that God was speaking to me. And he said, George, this is great that you want to help people to get well physically, but there's something else I'd like you to do. I want you to help them find life spiritually. It's time to cut the strings here. I want you to leave, and I want you to go get educated so that you can help people. And in the course of looking for a place to study, although there's great seminaries in Ontario and East, for whatever reason, God closed the door to that, and the place that we ended up coming was, it was then called Edmonton Baptist Seminary. Today you might know it as Taylor on 23rd Avenue. And so God led us there, and my whole plan was, you know, Sean and I didn't have children at the time. We were going to stay here for 2 years, and then we were going to go to Anderson, Indiana, kind of our hub seminary, graduate from there, and then serve somewhere in the Church of God. It was during my very first semester that they said you need to do a field education unit. And one of the reasons I chose the seminary there was because they were known to make, but to really equip pastors for practical ministry, not theologians who are great by the book, but people who are doing practical work. And so Sean and I were living with a great young man. He's not that young anymore because it was a long time ago, Mike Berg. He took us in. He was the closest thing that I have to a relative here. He took us in, so we actually lived pretty close to the seminary. And then through him, I got to know an individual here in this church, and I was helping that individual actually move into their new home. They found out that I was at seminary, and they said, hey, sounds like you have to do an internship. Do you want to come to our church? And that was this church. And so I did my very first internship in the fall of 1995, and that's how I actually got to know this church family. And through a set of circumstances, a year and a half later, I was asked to come back on staff as a full-timer. So that's how I actually bumped into this church family.
So as you did your ministry all these years, there were certain things, certain values, certain core convictions that guided you and that you tried to accomplish. So can you share some of those?
I think the primary value that drove me was that people matter to God. People really matter to God. And he went through extraordinary lengths to make them know that his heart is for them. Like, God is for us. We matter to him. And I had a key experience while I was at the chiropractic college. I hope it's okay if I go there really quickly. One of the first and most important things that you do at chiropractic college is you dissect cadavers. And I had been an anatomy TA at McMaster for 2 years. So I worked with the professor, and I did teaching some of the classes or coaching some of the students. So anatomy was easy for me. And then when we went to start dissecting cadavers, I really, really enjoyed that because it was kind of like my home. Don't take that the wrong way. It's not just kind of gory, but I really enjoyed it. And yet at the same time, I just had this sense that not all was well in my life. Turns out I went in for some extra work, and the anatomy professor was there alone with me in this big hall. Just imagine a bunch of cadavers all over the place. And I see him working at the end on a cadaver. And I just walked up to him and I said, what's happening with this cadaver? And they said, well, they just found this man the other day. He was living on the street. Nobody claimed him. Nobody cared for him. And he was decomposing when they found him. And there was just this moment that I had that was just like, that ain't right. That ain't right. People cannot go through life without knowing that there's someone who cares for them, without knowing that there's a God whose heart is for them. And so one of the key values that was birthed in my life at that point and extended through my whole ministry was that people matter to God. People really matter to God. And so that was one of the key driving values. I think there was another one. It was quiet. And when Sean and I were blessed to have children, we were never supposed to have children. God blessed us with two boys. I wanted them to be part of a community that loved them, that supported them, that nurtured them spiritually, a place where they could be themselves, where they could be normal, and where they could grow up and maybe also develop a heart for God. And I'm so blessed to say that they're now 20 and 18, and God has been so good. They've been able to grow up in this church family and be normal kids who've been able to develop a passion for God. The coolest thing is that one of my sons, a number of years ago, he got a book given to him by a friend, and it was written by this gentleman called Barnabas Piper. And Barnabas Piper is the son of a very well-known pastor, John Piper, in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. And the title of the book was kind of How to Navigate Life Being a Pastor's Kid. And some of you may know that pastor's kids don't really live a normal life. And so Zach began to read this book because it was given. And after the first or second chapter, he walked upstairs from his room and he looked at the book and he's put it on the table. He goes, I don't get any of this. This book doesn't connect with me. I don't understand what Barnabas's journey was all about. I've grown up as a normal kid in a community that loves me. And I said, dude, you're lucky. You're very fortunate. And so that was another key value for me, was to be part of developing a community of faith where our kids could flourish. And I'm not sure if you guys know this, but we got some kids sitting in this section over here, some who are guests with us today. And if you take a look at this section right here, you will see a bunch of kids who are going to take the church into the future. And one of the reasons I'm transitioning from my role as senior leader here at Grace Point into the district is because I want to give my life, my next 15 to 20 years of my life, to create a place for these kids to flourish in ministry. Because the church is still the hope of the world. And if we don't have kids like this leading the way, we're not going to make it. And so the value that kind of got me going is the one that's continuing to drive me. And that's that I love these kids. And I want them to lead the way in ministry for the future. One of the primary visions that I had, too, was that we really would become a life-changing community of grace and love for the world. God's grace and love for the world. It was so dominating our discussions as leaders that we actually chose the name Grace Point Church of God. For us, the whole point is that people bump into God's grace, that they experience his love. That's why we have the name that we do have. And so that was a key vision for me. And the purpose is very simple. Scripture tells us that we're to go make disciples of all nations. And so we as a church family decided years and years ago, our mission is to make more and better Christ followers. We want people to find faith in Jesus Christ, but then we want them to grow deep roots so that they transfer this knowledge, this love, this passion for Jesus to their children, to their neighbors, to their co-workers, to the community. And this is how we multiply disciples in this world.
Well, and now that you are transitioning out of a pastoral role and a more administrative role, my question would be, what would you miss? What would you miss?
If I was leaving, which I'm not, I'm going to be gone for a few months, but we'll be back. My family will continue to worship here. If I was really leaving, I would miss you. I'd miss all of you. This is my home. So we're glad we're not, we're glad we're not going. I don't know what I would miss. I just miss the personal interaction. I miss working with high-level leaders. I miss working with the staff. I miss the banter. I miss the community. To me, it's I'm not very pastoral, but I'm very relational, and I love being with people. I'm actually gonna miss sometimes the Sunday morning communication time. By the way, let me just say that if you've been with us from the beginning for 23 years. And you've been listening to me for 23 years, you are not right in the head. Because I wouldn't come back and listen to me. I would go home Sunday after Sunday and say to Shauna, I can't believe it, they came back. No, and you're very gracious people, you're wonderful. I have always seen Sunday morning communication time as a real privilege. And I think I'm going to miss that. I miss talking to family. And I've always looked at you through the lens of family. And I wanted to encourage you. So I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss coming to a great office with a great staff. I'm going to miss working with great leaders. That's the stuff that I'm going to miss.
When you are finishing your work here at Grace Point, which will be also at the end of the year, he will have some time off. So as you look forward to your new assignment, what expectations do you have? What kind of anticipations, what kind of hopes, what kind of dreams, how does your next couple of months, how will they unfold? Hopefully it will unfold that way.
I'm expecting to have a very steep learning curve. My two predecessors, John Campbell and Ken Weidrich, are really fine men of God. And each of them left their mark in a really powerful way and continue to. And I really feel that I've got some seriously big shoes to fill. And I'm going to need to learn a lot. So I anticipate having some challenging days where I'm getting acquainted with my new role. I'm very fortunate to have been a part of the field here in Western Canada for 23 years officially, 25 years unofficially. I've experienced some things. I'm relatively well acquainted with the ins and the outs of what is going on. But I really feel that it's going to be a steep learning curve in terms of getting to know the role and coming acquainted with some of the challenges that are out in the field. One of the reasons that I took the job beyond what I said about providing a place, a context for ministry for this next generation, is that I think I'm uniquely gifted to take where the work has been driven so far, where it's been nurtured so far, and to take the baton and keep it going down the track. So I really am anticipating some challenging, good challenges ahead, just because of the people who have gone before me, and also some of the demands of the field. So that's what I'm anticipating. Yeah.
One of the things that we know about George is that he loved to hang out with people. He mentioned that and went and had lunch appointments almost every day. Imagine you would have a lunch appointment with every one of us here, if it would be possible. And you would sit down face to face and you would share with that person what is so important about Advent and Christmas. What should they not miss? What is the message that you would like to take home or them to take home for an Advent and Christmas season?
The message that I would share is God is unequivocally for you. And he's unequivocally for every person that you lock eyes with. God has gone through great lengths to come into this world and to reveal his great love for us. And there's a purpose for each of us. And the primary purpose is that we enter into a relationship, a love relationship, one that is personal and real with our Heavenly Father. And that births in us a hope, a joy that is really unmatched. And that we don't keep that to ourselves, but that we then communicate that to those we rub shoulders with. We are hope bearers. We are joy bearers. We are to extend grace to those that we rub shoulders with. And to me, this is just the core of what it's all about. I've been wrestling with this the last few weeks, and I just want to share with you something I wrote down. For me, it's It's this whole paradox of Christmas that really highlights the absolute love and passion that God has for us. So just imagine with me, our Almighty God, the one who created this world, our Almighty God chose to come into this world as a helpless child. The one who is entirely self-sufficient chose to live in utter dependence. Many people had awaited his coming, but few noticed the baby's arrival, so much so that there was no room for him that night in the world that he had made. The one who was divine became human. Jesus left the corridors of heaven for a cold cave, a smelly stable. He left his heavenly seat. He left his throne in heaven for an earthly manger. He exchanged the splendor of swaddling clothes. He had robes of splendor, and he just took on swaddling clothes. He left the songs of a multitude of angels for the bleating of sheep and the praises of a few lowly shepherds. Jesus left his throne in heaven to become our king, a king who came not to be served, but to serve, a king whose death would bring us life, a king whose single sacrifice would serve as the ransom for all of us. And what I find so interesting is that in a couple of days, we're going to go home and we're going to exchange gifts with one another. But Christmas is actually about the gift that has already been given to us. And the question is, have you received it? Have you received it? So that's a message I would give. Our Creator God left that to come here to show us the full extent of his love. Ultimately, exchanging the wood of the manger for the wood of the cross so that we could have life. That's what I would say.
Thank you, George. Thank you for 23 years of faithful service. And I think it's appropriate to give him a hand of applause for that time. Some people have wondered, you can stay up here, George. You're not done yet. Some have wondered whether George is actually married. You know, too bad, he is. You know, so if you had any hopes, so he is married. And I would like to call Shauna up so that you all of you know who that person is who shared life with him for 26 years. Is that right? 26 years. Shauna, if you would come up. He has also two sons, as we have mentioned that. And I don't want to embarrass any one of the sons, so it's Zachary and Jackson. One is in Germany right now. Zachary was here this morning behind the drums. But we also would like to say thank you to Shauna for sharing George with us. I know that was his second wife here, if not sometimes the first. And I would bet if I would give Shauna the mic, she could share a story of George that would be a little bit different. We won't do that. Yeah. But we also acknowledge that you have been the one behind George over 26 years and 23 years now here in ministry. And also acknowledge that this was not always a walk on roses and always happy bliss. It was challenging, and you were also the one who heard in many times the worries, the cares, probably more the downsides than the upsides of ministry, which we won't highlight. But thank you for that. Thank you for caring with us and sharing George with us. Now there will even be more people sharing George with you, so be ready for that. I would also now call up the leadership of Grace Point, which includes the Board of Trustees, the Board of Elders, and the pastoral staff, if you would all please come up to the stage. So this, if you see the faces now, is what we would call the leadership team of Grace Point. We have wonderful staff, as already Pastor George already pointed out, that have worked all these years behind the scenes, although the names change and the terms sometimes come to an end. But this is our present leadership team with the Board of Trustees, Board of Elders, and as well as the pastoral staff and ministry team leaders. We also would like to say thank you to George on behalf of the church, and we will have now Judy representing the elders and Heidi representing the Board of Trustees and the entire church to have a special way of saying thank you.
Notice I gave the money to George, but Shauna took it. So, good job, Shauna. So on behalf of the Board of Elders and the Board of Trustees and Grace Point Church, we want to present this gift basket to you, the flowers and a monetary gift. It's our token of appreciation to say thank you to Shauna and George for your 23 years of faithful dedication and service to Grace Point Church. It has been an honor and a joy working with you both at Grace Point Church and journeying through life with you and your family, not only as fellow believers, but also as friends. So I asked some people from the congregation if they could give me some words to describe the characteristics of George. They're all good, George. And as they did, I looked for items which represent these words. So this, I'm going to briefly share what some of those items are in this basket. So one of the words someone gave me was fine taste. So in the basket, we have coffee from a Transcend Coffee Cafe, because George received a Transcend Coffee gift subscription for his birthday. And since then, and I'm quoting this, he's become a coffee snob. Second word, fashionista. And in there, we have some designer socks to complete your wardrobe. And George, growing up with three sisters, I think they taught you everything you know about fashion. Another word is faithful. Only a fine-crafted German-engineered pen would suffice because of your desire to leave a lasting mark wherever you go. Another word is organized, as we saw from the slides. So in there is a day timer for your new job and for the new year. And on the title of the day timer, it reads, "The best is yet to come," which I believe is so indicative of what the future lies ahead for you. One of the last words is intellectual. So in the book is a Chuck Swindoll commentary. It's for your love of learning. It's on the book of Revelation, though, the last book of the Bible, just so you know how the story ends. And the very last word is dreamer. And we have golf balls in there. Why? Because we know George loves golf, but also, George, because you believe your greatest golf game is yet to come.
So now the leadership team will surround George and Shauna and send them off with a prayer. And before we do that, Jim, who is our chairperson of the elders right now, will address some words and will pray with us and ask the team to come up right behind George and Shauna and surround it.
Thanks, Egbert. So Janice and I have had the pleasure of attending Grace Point now for 6 years, and over that time, we've really come to appreciate George and Shauna and the words we hear every Sunday. You have been imbued with the gift of preaching, and we do appreciate that. And I think from people I talk to that have come in recent years, that's the first thing that I hear is we just appreciate week in and week out hearing God's word. And I was going to say this in the prayer, but I'll say it now, is that I've been going to church a long time, but I would hear, I would gather insights into scriptures, the same words that I've heard for years that I hadn't heard before. And I appreciate that about you and Egbert both, about the knowledge and the depth, the heft of your preaching, and also the humor that comes with it. That's important as well, to me at least. So anyway, let's just have a word of prayer as we bless George and Shauna. Heavenly Father, we come here this morning with a mixture of thoughts and feelings. But Father, the main feeling we have this morning and the main thought we have is thankfulness. We want to express our thankfulness to you and to George. We want to thank you for George having been sensitive to your calling over the years of his life, and specifically 23 years ago when he was asked to come and to lead this fellowship, the fellowship that is now known as Grace Point and is now known as home to us. Father, we thank you that 10 years ago that George and the leaders of that day had the vision and had the faith to step out and build this building, which accommodates us so well. Personally, I want to thank you for bringing Janice and me to Grace Point 6 years ago, and I want to thank you for the preaching we hear every week in clear and practical terms. And I want to thank you for all the church family here. And Father, as we think of George's leadership and his preaching, it's the thing we see evidence of is the numerical growth. I understand the first Sunday, more than half the seats were not filled, and now they're filled every week. And Father, we thank you for the numerical growth, but also the thing that George values even more, and that is the spiritual growth, maturity in each of us that has sat under his leadership. And Father, now George is sensitive to your calling once again, and we are going to feel lost, and we will miss him. As hard as it is for us to accept that, I know that it's been harder for George and for Shauna to walk this journey. But George will take comfort in knowing that he's leaving behind a healthy church. And he's not really leaving it behind, but he's leaving the leadership behind in a healthy church. And Father, building this church body and building the family, the body that we are part of, does not come easy. There have been celebratory times, but we also know there's been very difficult times. And you have sustained him through these times. And we want to thank you for Shauna and for her walk with him and celebrating the good times, but also supporting him through the darker days. Shauna, we appreciate so much for all the stuff she does behind the scenes. We thank you, Father, for your guidance in her life. And as George has alluded to, one of the things that personally I take great joy in seeing, and that is the lives of Zach and Jackson. They were just in junior high when we started attending here, and now we've seen them grow into fine young men who love you and love to study your word. And now as George is leaving us to take on new challenges, we know that you will be faithful to him as you have been in the past. And Father, we have been blessed, we pray that other churches in the district in Western Canada will also feel that same blessing. Give him the strength and energy to deal with the days ahead. And Father, we just pray that you would be preparing the hearts and minds of the leaders and the pastors and the congregants of churches in Canada West, that George might represent change, but just prepare them for that and know that it would be change for the good. Father, just as we go from here this morning, we want to thank you for George. We've been fortunate to have been under his ministry for all these years, and we just ask that you would bless him in his ongoing service and bless Grace Point as we continue on and look through a period of transition. Go with us today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Standing, we'll finish the service with worship time, and then you will be almost dismissed.
Turn my mic on. Thanks, Brad. Listen, I just want to say one thing. I want to say thank you to all of you. You have made the journey sweet for 23 years. I want to say thank you to the leaders who are behind me. This church is in great shape. It has got great leadership, and you are poised for growth. I am convinced that your best days are still ahead of you, and we as a family are so blessed to know that we're going to have a front row seat because we're going to be part of this church family, and we're going to watch things take off. God is already shaping our next leader. He knows who that individual is. He's preparing that individual, and this is going to be a place that everybody's going to want to be, because God is going to be experienced here, and we're going to see incredible things happen. If you take a look around, one of the dreams that we had as a church was that we would be a very diverse church, that we would have an integrated pew, that we would be people from all nations, all countries, all tribes worshiping together. And I pray that you lean into that and that you run with that, because this is what our society needs. They need to know that we can do life together. We're not about building walls. We're about building bridges, and we're about pointing everybody to Jesus Christ. You guys are going to be great. Your best days are ahead of you. Your leadership is strong, and I'm looking forward to what's going to happen. Bless you.